Second half, Rotten Tomatoes game with Sheck playing along. News coming up as well. First, there's Geico. Do you own? Do you rent your home? Sure you do. And it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you have so much to do already around your home. Why not make it easy? Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see just how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com. Well, I just want to tell you about a quick podcast study here. As you know by now, we all do our very best to align the right sponsors to the podcast. It's a lot of work behind the scenes, and I'm incredibly grateful for your support. We're currently running a quick survey at podcaststudy.com, and we're giving the first 150 people a $10 digital Amazon gift card as an incentive to complete the survey. The information we hear from you about our sponsors is incredibly important to the show, and we can't thank you enough for taking a few minutes to help us out. I mean, come on, it's free. Cut us a break. Upon completion of the survey, you'll be asked to include your email address, and we will send the first 150 people a $10 gift card from Amazon. Go to podcaststudy.com, and thank you again for helping our show and our sponsors.
Listen to that noise. That's a high falsetto voice. That can only mean one thing, and you can feel it.
Got some names of flicks, and the gang makes their picks. Guessing if it's rotten or fresh.
If they guess it is,
it's the Rotten Tomatoes game. You know how we do it. Give me the Rotten Tomatoes game. Now it's time to play it.
All right, so this week, we've decided to focus the game on a star who has earned a tremendous amount of success in a short amount of time, achieving what truly is a meteoric rise to fame and fortune. So today's Rotten Tomatoes game is themed, for no reason at all, around John Hamm.
Wow.
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 That cuts deep.
Worthy, you know, he's a big star.
Yeah, I mean, he's a huge star. He's dreamy as all get out.
Check.
Men love him, women love him.
Check, I'm going to skew low for you out of respect.
And this is going to be tough because before Top Gun, are there movies that people have seen?
Check. I don't want to tell you how to play the game, but you have to do what the great Quincy Jones says. Check your ego.
Mm.
Yeah, hey, you have to put the hatred.
It's not personal.
You have to check it. You just have to check it to play the game.
I'm a gamer. The only thing is, I'm only playing if I get a trophy for this.
Okay. Oh, boy.
Fair's fair, right?
All right, here we go.
All right, well, first up, we follow a group of Boston bank robbers who set out to get one final score by robbing Fenway Park. Can the gang get away with it, or will they be outsmarted by a genius FBI agent played by an even more genius actor, starring Ben Affleck, Jeremy Renner, and the great John Hamm from 2010, The Town?
Yeah.
Love
this.
Murderous robbers versus a do-gooder for the FBI, and somehow John Hamm comes off as the jerk in the movie. Mm.
Yeah.
Shocker.
I got to say, Sheck, I really enjoyed this movie.
Yeah, people love this movie.
Yeah.
Can I say this? Mm. Because I have a heart as big as the ocean, I have to give credit where it's due. This side of 25th Hour, I always forget the guy's name. Who sweats Ed Norton in that when they're in the interrogation room. And and Ed Norton's like, I'm not telling you anything. And you really feel like he's going to get away with this. Basically, the message is like, you know, you're not scaring me, cop.
Right.
And then the cop sweats him. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh, my God, I would pee and weep simultaneously if a cop ever threatened me like that. John Hamm talking to Affleck. That is one of the great interrogation scenes in movie history. Mostly because of Affleck.
Everyone locked in?
No.
Judy, you seen this?
Yes, I love it. It's a great movie. All right.
I liked it. I said 88.
89.
Whoa. I go 84.
81.
Wow.
The Town is certified fresh at 92.
Whoa!
The people have 92. It at 85.
As a crowd pleaser, it's a great movie.
Mm-hmm.
It is a good picture.
Now, there's nothing better than having a group of friends who can get together every year to play a game near and dear to their hearts, such as the case in this film, where five friends hit the ground running for a no-holds-barred game of tag. And just like in The Town, this film stars the legendary Jeremy Renner and the even greater legend, John Hamm. Mm.
Yeah.
From 2018, Tag.
Based
on a true story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Renner calling up Hamm. Let's run it back. Remember how good The Town was? Let's do it again. Then they make Tag and they're like, oops.
All right, we'll do another one. It's got to start with a T. I don't think this one was good. Good cast.
Great cast.
Lots of stuff going on. And so the question is are we kind of a lukewarm 53 or do we dip down into the teens on something like this? Like, did it just not work?
I don't think this was very well received.
I'm with you. Could be some scenes in it that were funny.
I pride myself on rarely not finishing a movie, no matter how bad. This is one of the few movies I turned off after maybe 20 minutes. I was just very bored.
Doesn't mean the critics turned it off.
No, you're right. I don't know how good it ultimately was or bad.
As I've counseled Hamm many times, just make it silent movies. Oh, flapping your gums is only going to hurt the cause, man. Just sit there and look pretty, would you? Burn a nail, you know? That looks good.
Ladies
like that.
I'm torn 33%.
26.
37.
22.
Tag is rotten. 56.
Oh, shit.
Didn't you say like 50-something?
54, 53.
How bad does a movie have to get before it gets below 50?
Well,
my goodness.
It has the Hamm factor. So that's good for 30 points.
Swine.
Well, as their other friends start to have children and grow distant, two platonic friends decide to have a child together without becoming a couple. But that's not important. There is an amazing actor in this movie who also served as the producer, providing his talent for making tough decisions and finding correct solutions. Starring Adam Scott, Jennifer Westfeldt, and professional producer who knows how to get things done, John Hamm. From 2011, Friends with Kids.
I don't recall this.
This is a deep hole.
Yeah, now he used to be in a relationship with Jennifer Westfeldt. So
yeah.
I guess that was maybe around that time.
Yeah.
And the funny guy, Jessica Stein.
Yeah, that's Hench's wife.
Yeah,
what?
The Irish fellow.
Yeah. He's funny, and I like that guy.
Heather Jergensen is from Kissing Jessica Stein, who's married to Hamm.
Oh,
she was in
that.
The Hammer as well.
I didn't know they were married. Wow.
In fact, really, I'm not sure if it's Hamm's first acting gig, but yes, he has a minor role in that movie with that. And I'm not sure if that's...
Oh, Kissing Jessica Stein?
Yeah, it's a really good movie.
Yeah. I know.
Guess what? You can blame Hench for Hamm's career, I guess, everybody. Congratulations. Full circle.
I think I saw this, but I'm not sure.
I've never
Two Goyim.
This.
Stunner.
Yeah.
Teaming up.
Friends with Kids. I have no idea.
Do we know who directed this? Do you know anything about it?
I have no
idea.
Seems
pleasant.
It's a nice
we
cast.
Know the producer.
Mm-hmm.
This movie seems like it was made 27 times in about an 18-month span. Am I right?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Friends with Benefits and all that kind of stuff.
All right.
It was directed by Jennifer Westfeldt.
Okay.
All right. Female director might get a slight bump there.
This had to be right before Bridesmaids. I mean, Chris O'Dowd and Kristen Wiig in this.
All right. Good cast.
Mm-hmm.
Female director. Heard anything about it?
Never.
I don't know what to say. I just go 50%.
Oh, I'm a little higher. I bet it's pleasant. 73.
I said 70.
I'm going 59%, and I do like that the producer, John Hamm, saw fit on the movie bill to put himself right in the middle of the picture.
Yeah.
Yes.
Friends with Kids is fresh. That's 67%.
Ooh,
too far off.
All right.
This getaway driver.
Trust me, everybody. I'm the voice of Mercedes, and I think you should listen to my voice here when I tell you that when you put me squarely in the middle of the movie bill, the ladies are going to show up.
People,
no questions asked.
The people are at 49 on Friends with Kids, which is weird.
That is weird.
This getaway driver loves three things: speed, music, and a waitress named Deborah.
Mm-hmm.
But when a heist goes wrong and he is threatened by his former crew, the driver must face off against a sharpshooter and an even sharper dresser, played by America's favorite actor, starring Ansel Elgort, Kevin Spacey, and the Ham Man himself from 2017, Baby Driver.
Now, I don't know what to say about this because this is one of my husband's favorite movies. He saw it alone in the theater like 15 times. I've seen it a few times. I really like it, but does everyone like it as much as he likes it?
It's a good movie.
It's got very stylized.
Yes, it's got great style and great energy. I don't know if this is Edgar Wright's finest film. I do not think it is.
I think in terms of integrating the music actually into it, that the guy's listening to it as he's driving and everything. Fun. I'm gonna go strong here and say it's even better than when Jason Gedrick requires ambiguous white man's rock and roll in his ears to fly his jet. Effectively in Iron Eagle, this is even better. That the guy needs to drive with, and the music is great in this. It's a great soundtrack.
Okay. Didn't come too far off of what was that Driver movie that bothered the shit out of
me? Just called Drive.
Just Drive.
Elliot Gould.
Very different though. No.
Or that was this one.
No, this is Cranston was in it.
And Ryan Gosling.
Yes.
Yes. Shaq, you know what bothered me about that movie?
You think you're confusing your Jews. It's Albert Brooks.
You're right. I did confuse my Jews.
And Pearl.
Thank you.
They did that move. Well, they did two things in that movie. They did the move where the guy's a really good driver in all movies. Mm-hmm. At some point, you can grab the e-brake, flip the car around, drop it in reverse, and then beat the car that's in drive going forward because you're in reverse.
Mm-hmm.
That's not really how they make cars.
Like, I always have wondered about this. How fast does a sports car go backwards? Because you see it all the time. Outracing coppers.
They top out about 17 miles an hour because it's one gear.
Is that right? I'd love to see I'd love to see you drag like that or to whoever's willing to do it. Like, how fast can you really race?
You
backwards?
Really can't go as fast backwards as you can forward.
No, you can go fast backwards to a limit, because the thing about reverse is it's one gear.
Mm-hmm.
So it'd be like, how fast could you go in first gear?
Right.
Because why would you design a transmission that had shifted into second and third in reverse? You're just going down your driveway.
Unless you watch Tenet, right, Brian?
And the gear would be ratioed lower a little bit. So you'd have one gear and it'd be lower so that you could kind of back up a steep driveway or something. You'd have a little more torque, but what would mean, like, same with your car, fifth gear is like overdrive. That's on the freeway. It's a different ratio. So they did that. But the greatest scene of all time was Bryan Cranston talking about the used NASCAR and him looking at it going, "Well, it's engine's fresh and still got tread on the tires, so it's a good buy." Have you
even
never?
I know that.
First
even
off, there is stupid. No tread on the tire. It's a slick, number one. But have you not seen a race? They changed it. They show up with a semi truck with 2,000 tires and they change them every 20 minutes. Like, no one has ever in the history of selling a race car talked about the tires, because the first thing you need to do is you have to get new tires.
It's expendable.
We'll bring 1,000 of them to the next race. Still got tread on the tires. Jesus Christ.
That is an ongoing good observation by you, that, you know, as meticulous as these big Hollywood productions tend to be, that they never have somebody on site to go, like, just the sport. By the way, call me up, showbiz. I'm ready to go. I don't know about the car racing. I'll defer to Carroll on that, but I can advise you. I'm like, yeah, that wouldn't happen.
He's gonna jump 300 feet, field goal to field goal. Jesus Christ.
That, by the way, the backwards driving thing also happens in Ready Player One.
Oh, really?
They go super fast in the DeLorean. Mm. Again, I'm fascinated. Like, that is an ongoing
story. All right. People like this movie. Very highly stylized. A lot of good performances. Hammy played a tough guy.
Mm. Ham took this role because Kevin Spacey was in it, and he figured, well, at least I can't be the most loathsome guy in it.
Oh, my God.
I think this kind of film critics like at 87.
You're 100% right. Critics go nuts for Edgar Wright and all of his, anything he touches. So I got 88.
I went 88.
I got 83.
Baby Driver is certified fresh at 92%.
Oh. Pooped. I've done, this is my worst performance yet.
People at 86. I got my finger on the pulse of the people, and that's what really matters.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Finally, a rundown hotel becomes a seedy battleground when seven strangers converge on a fateful night for one last shot at redemption before everything goes wrong. Mm-hmm. But remember, this is just a movie. In the real world, nothing could ever go wrong for John Hamm.
True.
Starring Jeff Bridges, Cynthia Erivo, and John the Hammer Hamm. From 2018, Bad Times at the El Royale.
Who saw this?
I loved it. Adam didn't like it. You saw it and you didn't like it.
I felt that it was kind of aware of itself. Like,
it totally was.
It kind of happened, you know, it's like after Tarantino started coming out with films, other people started getting into that genre. And I just felt like they were too self-aware. But it was perfectly watchable and interesting and kind of kept you going.
Has a real Boogie Nights poster.
I love this movie.
Okay.
It's very stylized also. It is self-aware. It's ironic.
I've had it on the DVR for quite some time.
I really enjoyed it, but everything Adam said is correct. I enjoyed it.
Who's this pretty boy schmuck in the way blocking John Hamm in the poster?
Oh, that's fucking Thor. That's Hemsworth.
Hemsworth.
All More right. Hamm.
All right, this shall be interesting. Let's see if Brian puts his money where his mouth is on this one.
I'm going to need a rally here. I'm going to try to...
Kind of had a black woman as the lead or one of the leads, which is always worth, you know, it's a couple of points in there. Highly stylized, but sometimes the highly stylized will backfire. Critics and go, I'm not buying it.
I have no idea.
But perfectly watchable and interesting art direction and stuff like that looked good. I don't know. Took place in the 60s, Ryan.
Yeah, it was a Manson era, I think, late 60s. Interesting hotel on the California-Nevada border, and the border goes right through the hotel, so you can gamble on one side and not
they
on the other.
They have that in Tahoe,
The Calnev, I think.
Yeah, right, exactly. Calneva.
Something like that.
Yeah.
All right. Everyone locked in?
Yeah.
I went just fresh at 67.
Wow. This is going to separate the men from the boys. I went a little higher at 85.
I know nothing about it. I'm trying to hit it dead nuts on 79.
I went 71.
All right. Well, Bad Times at the El Royale is certified fresh.
Okay.
Put it away.
It's 74%.
And the people at 74.
74. I'm surprised, actually.
Yeah, that seemed about right. Of the way I felt, and it's hard, you know, when the people and the critics are simpatico. In this case, 74 across the board, it's worth a watch. Mm-hmm. I would say that
probably the closest game we've ever had in Rotten Tomatoes history. Wow. Gina Grad, after the longest podium streak in of the game. You got fourth place. You're off.
No, I can't believe I'm not last.
What's the fourth place score?
Fourth place score is 57.
Wow, respectable. Respectable.
Just like Heinz Field.
Mm-hmm.
Bested by 1 point from the Ace Man for third place. Wow. 56.
Wow. Dave, you're first.
I thought I did horribly here. Yeah.
Wow.
Leaving us, Dave Damashek and the bald one. Brian usually wins these games.
I need a trophy here.
If he does today, the nation will cry.
Oh, come on. I don't know if the nation will cry.
The world.
But, I mean, let's really talk about who the real winner of this game is. It's John Hamm.
That's right. Amen. Let's give it up for John Hamm.
Thank goodness that guy finally gets a break.
Everyone's playing
real underdog
place.
Story. Mm-hmm.
So we'll go ahead and move everybody else down the podium. Bald, 54. You're now in third place. Damashek takes second with 47.
Wow.
It's close.
You won?
I hope you feel vindicated.
John Hamm. Can't keep a good Jew down.
Yeah.
Suck it, Ham.
Wow.
Oh, and by the way, one more time. You're a Jew!
That's right.
Thank you. 2 weeks running. Outsider coming in.
I know.
Into our house.
That.
Brian Bosworth won the last game we played.
True.
Did you do Stone Cold?
With an astounding, like, 31 or
he
something.
Had a really good score.
He really got it.
He really got it. And then Sheck waltzes in and grabs another victory. We got to circle the wagons.
John Hamm is my Bo Jackson. So this is justice. This is where you come to find a little bit of revenge, a reckoning. The Adam Carolla show is where it's at.
I just hate that I beat you two mooks 2 weeks in a row and for nothing.
Wow. For nothing.
For nothing.
Yeah.
To no avail.
That's right.
That's right. No avail. Boz rolls in and now Sheck.
Hey, I know. Listen, we're playing little games here. And like I say, we're now doing Mr. Lister. I just wanted to throw it at you. If you don't want to do it, we don't have to do it. But very quickly to give you a taste of the game. Bald is a movie trivia guy. You two are as well, Gene and Ace. Very quickly, Sylvester Stallone movies. Mm-hmm. Let's see who can name the most.
Oh.
One by one by one, Bald.
Hold on. This is 20 minutes, and we got the
20 minutes? How long do you think this is going to go on?
Can I open it and close it with Rhinestone?
Okay, well, we won't do
what
it.
What else matters?
All right, can I say the deep cut porn called The Italian Stallion?
I've seen
the
that.
The bootleg that was released in, like, the shot in the 70s.
Oh, yeah.
And he's in it?
Oh, come on, Sheck. He's the original Kardashian.
He? Sly Stallone?
How did you not know
that? No, I have no idea. You guys are steeped in the Stallone.
Look, I know porn.
And Stallone. Those are the two things you probably know best.
After Rocky, there was a scuttlebutt that he'd done some sort of grainy black and white porn film from like the 70s or something. Now, they didn't call it The Italian Stallion.
It was renamed.
For Rocky.
I had no idea.
Yeah. No, it was, it was originally called Rambone. Do you know there's an 80s male porn star called Dick Rambone?
Of course.
I did not know that.
Wait, was the one he was in called The Party at Kitty and Studs?
That sounds about right.
From 1970?
Yeah, renamed and re-released as The Italian Stallion once it became world famous.
Wow. Uh-huh.
Well, you know my affection for Nighthawks. That's a place where me and Ace part ways.
How are you not aware of this? All right, we'll take ourselves a break. Find out if Dick Rambone's still alive. Probably slid behind the camera by now. And we'll be right back after this.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral. Weird crime, protest, politics. Give me news with Gino Grad. Stuff they saw on TMZ. Joe Biden. Kamala. Big news with Gino Grad.
News with Gina Grad.
I seem to recall Dick Rambone was of Middle Eastern descent.
Okay.
Which you did not see a lot of back in 80s, San Fernando Valley porn.
Right.
But we can do a deep dive on
that. Rambone.
Born in 57, his last credit is 92.
Mm-hmm.
So
say where he's from or what is
not
what his Christian name is.
He's just born in the USA. That's all it says.
I don't think it's a Christian name.
Okay. Well, there's only one man.
Rambo.
There's only one man right now on literally on Earth that's more beloved and celebrated than John Hamm.
Can you find a picture of Dick Rambo? He's got a little Freddie Mercury to him. It's got a sort of Middle Eastern flavor to him.
He looks exactly like Freddie Mercury.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, Dick Rambo.
And he's a coxman.
Is he holding a rifle?
Looks like it.
In this particular.
Is he Serpico?
He's serpentine with his penis. See. All right, sorry. What do we got?
So a beloved man, not John Hamm. His name is Yvon Chouinard. He's the founder of the outdoor apparel company Patagonia.
Oh, yeah. Mm.
Putting his money where his mouth is.
Didn't he just give away his company?
The unconventional billionaire has given away the entire company to fight climate change. He and his wife and his two adult children have transferred the ownership of $3 billion from the company.
He should love climate change. He makes all the gear fight it.
That's right.
I mean, all the
windbreakers and
tents and
To a trust and nonprofit that'll make sure it's approximately $100 million a year in profits are used to fight climate change and protect underdeveloped areas around the world. He's 83 years old. He said, hopefully this will influence a new form of capitalism that doesn't end up with a few rich people and a bunch of poor people.
The beauty is at some point 10 minutes after he dies, some woman who used to work as a temp as a secretary for Patagonia would say, he was eyeballing me once, and we'd go, fuck that guy. Take the statue down in front of the UN. Yes.
Now, whether you agree with this, or you're down with this cause or not, this is a guy who put his money where his mouth is.
Very much so.
Years.
And in the genre that he knows best. You know, we have like the Warren Buffett, and what's it called, like the Giving Pledge or whatever, with Oprah and stuff. But this guy eliminating the middleman and doing it now. I wonder how his adult children feel about this.
It is funny to think about those people instead of arguing with a sibling about who deserves it more. The world gets it. $3 billion, you say?
Yeah.
I'm fascinated by what companies are worth. $3 billion. Yeah. Patagonia. Would that be your guess? That's maybe instead of Rotten Tomatoes or in addition to. Guessing the value.
Oh, I would have no
When you see companies get sold, you're like, it's sold for what? Yeah. That website sold for $5 billion? Why would what value does it have?
Can someone who's better at math than me, just real quick, $100 million a year for $3 billion, that's
$100 million
a year. It's $100 million a year.
It's 30 years.
That's 30 years, right?
Billion?
For $3 billion.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah. Right?
Okay, good. Good for him. That's what I was too scared for. All right. Let's talk about the Phoenix Suns and the Phoenix Mercury owner, Robert Sarver. Are you guys familiar with him? Because you're about to be.
I know.
You're about to be. He's been suspended for a year and fined $10 million as an NBA investigation found that he used the N-word at least 5 times. The NBA also said that there were instances of inequitable conduct toward female employees, including sex-related comments. He's not allowed to be around any NBA or WNBA facility or to be part of any event of theirs during his suspension. He is the second owner to be suspended for racist comments. Everybody, what was his name?
Sterling.
That's right. Oh, Donald Sterling.
Yeah. Can we make a definition? And I don't know all the nuts and the bolts, but there's using the N-word and then there's repeating somebody else
the
using
Papa John's clause.
N-word.
Yeah.
Right. I draw a distinction between you just randomly throwing out the N-word and you saying this other guy said the N-word.
He was at a Jay-Z concert. He was singing loudly.
What if he was literally reading aloud from Tom Sawyer?
Yes, it's a very good
Huck
point.
Finn.
So they never really include the context of it. It's just he used it. As we know, Shaq, a joke I told on stage when I was in Pittsburgh. Your quarterback, who a couple seasons ago got bonked on the head by the Browns' defensive end.
Oh, Mason Rudolph.
As he took his helmet off, he said Miles Garrett said,
accused Mason Rudolph of saying that.
Yes.
Whether or not that actually happened is another
Then matter. Everyone said no one around them heard it. And then my argument was when you bring out the N-word, you don't normally go, psst. Get in here.
We only got a minute.
Not for nothing. I'm going to call you the N-word. Usually when someone's slinging around and trying to kill you and there are many other bodies around you, the N-word might come sailing out.
Sure.
There are Browns and Steelers both around us here. We're a mixed company. I don't want to offend
The argument that he did say it, but it was very focused and quiet in the middle of the field, I'm not buying into it.
Well, also, the league's mics all off.
Oh, weird.
Mics didn't pick it up.
Oh.
The officials didn't hear it. Then Miles Garrett went back to the locker room. He was steamed. Like, he was smoking mad. 10 minutes later, he's comported himself. And now, all of a sudden, he, in quiet tones, can say, this is what happened to me. Checks out. Nobody heard it. Not even former Brown in that time. Now, Pittsburgh Steeler.
Yes.
Gloriously
Miles
named.
Garrett is despicable for doing this. He really shouldn't be saying anything. He's furthering this whole fucking horrible narrative that's getting people killed. But also, as I say all the time, and we're fucking nuts as a society. People go like, "Jesus, Miles Garrett took his helmet off and like almost killed him." And then you go, and then someone goes, "Yeah, but he may have used the N-word or said something." And then everyone goes, "Okay." So if someone calls me a WAP, I'm allowed to fucking take a helmet and physically assault them. You're still not allowed to put your hands on people who use Dago, Kike. You're not allowed to physically assault people.
Where's my helmet?
Sorry.
It's crazy. I mean, you know, how many years ago was that now? 3-4 years ago at this point. But I still go back to exactly what you're saying. What if he cracks him with that helmet on his uncovered head and kills him on the field. Mm-hmm. Think about the. I know it's dark. What if he splits his head and he's bleeding everywhere?
Could prove he used the N-word, we'd keep walking. Mm-hmm. If we could prove it,
really think about what. Imagine what that look would have been. A football player laying on the field with his head split and bleeding everywhere.
It
like
was a crazy,
boy, that was nuts. That went a little too far.
Crazy story.
Hey, I mentioned this. This came up a week ago. Another day was in the studio. When I asked if you recall, early in the radio show days, we had like a comedy show at the Improv, and it was like Friends of the Adam Carolla Show, and whatever. You were there, Adam was there, and Adam introduced the show and immediately handed it over to you and went home. Do you remember that?
Of course I did. That was the
haunt
best.
Him.
I have no recollection, but I wanted you to get stage time. But that I do recall.
That was the same thing. What you did for Hench with the movie,
that's
you
right.
did for Damashek. I think, let's hear what you got. I'm on the stage. I'm not going to hear. I'm going home. But another of these people will.
I got to tell you, when the alarm goes off at 5 in the morning and you're out at night, you just, like the telltale heart, like the crow with the peanut, it's just tick, tick, ticking. You're just
this is at the world famous Improv, and they and there was a gang. It was Dave Attell.
Did the alarm
Jeff
knock
Ross,
off for Dave the next day?
No,
you're on the same show,
right? No.
Yeah, but
it
I
was,
gotta
no
work.
The gift that you the inadvertent gift from that was we're sitting there and it's a packed house. And we're like, wow, this is really great. I guess this radio show is really coming together. Look at all these fans are excited to see the Ace Man. Carolla, like 4 minutes before the show, goes like, I got to get out of here. I'm going to go home. I promised I'd watch Survivor at home. So I'm going to get out of here. And then I'm like, ha-ha, that's a funny joke. Then he jumps on the stage, Carolla. He's like, hey, thanks for everybody coming out. I'm going to turn it over to Sheck here the rest of the way here. I'm going to let him do it. If you would have told me that 20 minutes before, I would have worked myself into a lather of
that's
cold
why I
sweat.
Didn't do it.
Instead, it was like,
here we go.
Here's Sheck.
That's right.
Showtime.
That's right.
I don't think I offended anybody by being terribly unfunny. Just my mediocre level of unfunny.
Yeah, you're
that's
fine.
I put my Adam Carolla thinking cap on with something that is a big viral to-do lately. I'm hearing a lot, and I don't know if you guys are running in the same circles, but a lot I'm hearing from other people that other people are offended about the new Little Mermaid who's black.
Yes.
Put the picture up. It's Halle Bailey, not to be confused with Halle Berry.
Gross.
And it's beautiful. It's live action Little Mermaid. How exciting! I'm seeing people get it whipped up to the into the frenzy. And I even put a Twitter poll up about this, going, "Is anybody mad? Do you know anyone who's mad about this? Is anyone even aware of this?" So
I watched TMZ.
Okay, maybe you can tell me. I can name you about 100 people who have said that people are up in arms about this. I've never encountered one person who's actually mad about the color of the mermaid. I don't know.
You surround yourself with adults and decent people.
She's very light.
I must.
Her hair is reddish.
Well, she's a little Ariel. Supposed to be in hair.
We do. Oh, it's kind of got a little dready to it.
She's underwater.
Do you get dreadlocks when you go underwater?
I guess. Matted a little.
Got to do something to pass
the
time.
Am I looking at kind of ropes?
Yes, you are. Like I'm just fucking
like
around. I don't
hair,
know.
Right?
Yeah.
Huh?
Is beach hair a thing?
Yeah, but like, was she? But at this point, she's never breached the surface, so
but
he
has
a good point.
Dreadies, right?
A little bit, yes.
Never
yes,
sat well with me that the end of Splash, spoiler alert, that Tom Hanks jumps into the water with Daryl Hannah, and then they live undersea for the rest of their days. How do they talk to each other? That must make Hanks like, all right, I liked making my sweet love on you, but the rest of my life now? I'm never going to have a conversation again?
Yeah.
Going to live at the bottom of the sea? No TV?
No,
what am I gonna do? No pizza? This sucks.
So, but you can,
I'll find another lady. There are plenty of fish in the sea.
You can pull apart a lobster
figured
with your hands.
So
on TMZ, did they showcase anyone who's actually steamed about this?
No. I think what we do is, maybe it's the theme for the show, but we've decided that we live in this sort of crazy, racist, you know, clan-driven world. You know, we have folks who work for the government who explain that white supremacy is like the biggest domestic problem we have. We really work it hard, but you're hard pressed to find this group or this march or this rally or whatever it is. So a few fucking knuckleheads send out some tweets and then we go, can you believe what kind of society we fashion?
But
you
don't,
that's a prominent guy who's doing it.
You don't know that.
That one podcast guy who's pushing it real hard, making videos about it. Walsh.
That's got to be a joke. Is it?
I don't know.
Is he fucking serious?
I don't know. I looked it. I was like, exactly
that's,
your
that's
question.
Ridiculous.
Who cares about this? I clicked in to see what the reaction was.
Yeah.
I don't know who runs those Twitter accounts, but people are mad
well,
about it.
Well, thank you for being able to answer this because I don't follow him, so I didn't know
there's
that people
some pretty dark
actually are up in arms.
Here's what we're going to have to get used to. A group exists for everything. There are plenty of flat earthers. There's plenty of whatever 9/11 deniers. There's plenty of people that are upset over Black Mermaid. They're out there. They're going to be there. The real question is what policy are they in charge of? That's my feeling.
He's inducting the Mermaid Act of 2022.
Yeah, I'm just saying. All right, there's Klan. The Klan's out there. Okay, but then they are going to enforce this two counters, this two lunch counters thing. Because if they don't have any juice or power, then I'll keep walking. She's pretty. Who cares? Mermaids don't actually exist anyway.
Whoa.
And I get it.
Now you're crossing the line.
I am going to need, though, I think the pushback on stuff like this is not we are outraged that there's a Black person who has taken this role. I think the pushback is we have roles, you know, the Karate Kid or whatever it is was this, and that it's more of a hypocrite Hollywood thing, which is we're going to get some goodwill by sort of shoehorning Black faces in traditional white roles, and we'll just keep doing that. And then it ends up feeling disingenuous more than it's, I don't want a Black person playing this. It's more of a Hollywood hypocrite, like, okay, so this is what you're going to do.
More engineered than inspired.
Right.
And
right.
I mean, I guess the other way to look at it is back then, they didn't think that a Black mermaid, whatever, they couldn't open a movie. Like, come on,
right.
You're not a white guy. Like, nobody's going to. But now we know better. But
yeah.
I mean, yeah, I think it's probably both. I just can't believe that they're goddamn morons on earth that
there's
are
people
having a problem
who
with
think
this.
Elvis is still alive.
That's
like,
right.
That's
John was supposed to come back and reannounce Donald Trump was the president.
That's right.
That's right.
There's that.
Okay.
Well, also, for better or worse, 2023, I just announced Little Mermaid reboot starring John Hamm as the Little Mermaid.
Oh,
oh
yes.
Why would you do that?
Heart.
It's ridiculous.
Oh, I'm a big fan.
Buffoonish
that
at this point.
Great. I can't wait.
Also, can I just say quickly, yeah. Little Mermaid, we have daughters, three of us. The worst role model for daughters of all the Disney
she's
princesses.
One of the weaker
princesses. She sees the guy on the boat, and Eric, I think. He's like, oh my God, I'm in love with him. You haven't even spoken to him, and you're in love with him? She just gives up her entire life because she met a handsome devil?
She literally gives up her voice to be with him. I don't know how much
she's
more poetic
the worst.
You
she's
can get.
She's the worst role model of all the princesses.
And to bring it all home, remember the episode of 30 Rock where John Hamm plays the best looking guy on earth?
No.
Okay. And he's dating Tina Fey and says, oh, my high school swim team picture was the inspiration for Prince Eric on The Little Mermaid.
Wow. That is freaky.
Yeah.
All right. One more quickie.
Okay. Let's see here. Quickie. Okay.
I hear Hamm specializes in those.
Okay, there's a video from a nursing home in Taiwan that went viral a couple days ago, and we just have to show it. She's this exotic dancer. She came in to entertain some aging military vets.
Oh.
The stripper's visit went down last week during this mid-autumn festival, which it's called the annual harvest celebration in China. And video of her performance has spread far and wide, much to the credit of the nursing home's administration that you're going to fucking love this, and then I'm going to show you the video. When they received backlash for bringing a stripper into an old folks' home, the spokesperson said the intent was to entertain and make the residents happy, and I think we did that.
Backlash from whom?
Assholes!
It's the same. The ones who don't like the Black Ariel.
You know? So here's the video, and you might need to do some play-by-play because it's just it's delightful. Go ahead.
It's an old folks' home, and she's doing it.
And it gets worse, better. She's pawing at her crotch. She's really focused on this one guy. Letting him motorboat.
Mm-hmm. Oh, jeez.
And then wait.
Everyone gets to fly.
Gets on his lap. Lets him really cop a fine feel.
Yeah.
Everyone's having a great time. The music is bumping.
Honor your elders.
Well, first off, how many of these guys are going to have a stroke trying to beat their meat you know, after lunch.
They might not make
one.
It out of that room.
That's right.
And number two, the real, this is fine, but it's the, you know, sort of middle-aged nursing staff that's in trouble because when they come in to change to bedpan half hour later and this guy's got a head of steam, you know what I mean?
You're right.
Shit's going to go down. You got to think about
God
that.
God bless them.
Of course.
And the spokesperson
every
didn't,
day.
They didn't, the spokesperson didn't say, we're sorry. They said, we can't, she came to entertain. I'm pretty sure she did.
Yeah.
So good for them.
It's a win.
Mm-hmm. Should we bring it home?
Yeah.
I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Gina Grad.
That was the news with Gina Grad.
We're going to San Diego, October 28th, 29th, in the Mic Drop Comedy over there. And lots of live shows, St. Louis, Tucson, Tempe. Just go to AdamCarolla.com and check out my new book, Everything Reminds Me of Something. Enjoy that. Grab it on Amazon. Mr. Lister is the show Tuesday night, 7 p.m. Eastern on Spotify Live. And, of course, the podcast, Extra Points with Cousin Sound, Dave Damaschek, available wherever you listen to finer podcasts, and Minus Three with our old buddy Hench as well. So, until next time, it's Adam Kroll for Dave Damaschek and Gina Grad and Bald Brian. Say it. Mahalo. Poco Chungo.
Make sure you pick up a copy of Adam's new book, Everything Reminds Me of Something. It's available everywhere. Leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744 and get your tickets to see the Ace Man. Get them now at AdamCarolla.com.
Do you own? Do you rent your home? Sure you do. And it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you have so much to do already around your home. Why not make it easy? Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see just how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
Saddle up and get ready for Westerns Weeks on Pluto TV, all for free. We're coming in blazing with favorites like True Grit and Once Upon a Time in Mexico. Or immerse yourself in binge-worthy series like Yellowstone and Walker, Texas Ranger. Plus, Pluto TV has hundreds of channels with thousands more movies, TV shows, and more. The best part? It's free. No credit card, no sign-up, no fees. Download the Pluto TV app on all your favorite devices and start streaming now.